Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Time. It seems our society, we have a problem with time. Time is of the essence. There are not enough hours in the day. The clock is always ticking. We are trying to make the best of our time. Your time will come someday. Have you ever heard that phrase? What does that mean? Your time will come someday. Is that death or opportunity? I remember as a child being often told by my big, bossy, older sister, "You'll understand when you're older." Anyone else ever heard that phrase? Maybe it was by an older sister or brother. Maybe it was even by your parents. But that phrase, it's usually told by someone who's older and wiser or more experienced in life. You'll understand someday. Our time of understanding would come all in good time. Our opportunity would come all in time. But it required patience. Patience is not something our society is good at. Black Friday sales can't wait for Black Friday anymore. It seemed that this year I took note that Black Friday began 2 weeks before Black Friday. It's hard to wait. I get it. I'd like to call myself a rather patient person, but as many of you may know, that when the calendar clicks to the 25th of any given month, I'm the one counting down 11 months, 7 months, 4 months, 1 month. Maybe I'm not as patient as I thought either. Today's gospel reading pushes on these main themes of time and patience as well. But it also hints, it slams us with an image of the unknown, of fear, of judgment, and a sense of apocalyptic events coming. For some, the idea of one will be taken and one will be left brings a sense of doom, of uneasiness. Who will be taken? Who will be left? When will this happen, we ask? Well, because of a theology of dispensationalism, which has been pushed through some of our big mega evangelical organizations, some might hear this text today and say, this is about being taken up to heaven and those left behind are going to be punished and judged. Well, I'm here to say very clearly, that is bad theology. Period. That is bad theology. This text is not about the rapture or the Left Behind movie series. There is more to this text than judgment and fear. It screams of the good news. It truly does. Let me explain. The Greek word used here for taken is paralambano. It's often translated as taken, but many times it is also translated as received. The Greek word for left is agros. It's often translated as left, but once again, it is translated often as forgiven. How different this text could read if those two words were changed. One will be received, and one will be forgiven. These two words are used side by side in the story of Noah. Yet those who were taken were the ones who were drowned, and the ones who were left were the ones who were saved in the ark. This is the opposite of what some of our rapture thinkers would want us to believe in who is left and who is taken. Maybe being left, although a burden and a possibility of suffering, is a good thing. That God would leave those on earth as a blessing, as a form of grace rather than judgment. This is a blessing of God's presence in the Advent darkness. The story of Noah is being referenced in today's text, to give focus that life was being lived. Life was going on as usual. It's not about the judgment factor here. It's about life being lived and pursuing and going forward and being normal. Everyday living. No one, Jesus says at the beginning of the passage, no one knows when the Lord will come, not even Jesus. He follows that up by giving several examples of pairs of people being caught off guard, taken and one left. And then at the end of the passage, Jesus states again that the Son of Man will come at an unexpected hour. We've all experienced for ourselves, or know of those who have struggled, with seeing God's presence amongst unexpected hours of life events. Uncertainty, surprise. These are at least things we do know something about. So what if we updated the examples Jesus shares? Two colleagues were working. One was diagnosed with cancer. One was not. Two candidates applied for a coveted job. One was chosen, the other not. Two kids are navigating their way through high school. One succumbed to drugs and addiction, the other not. Two couples were joined in marriage. One stayed married, the other did not. Two siblings were sitting on a school bus in Chattanooga. One lived, the other did not. Unexpected, surprising, and life-altering events happen in our lives all the time. And through all of them, we are invited, no, we are commanded, to keep watch for the presence of God. Sometimes you have to wait a while to see where God is at work, and that can be painfully, painfully hard. Remember, we are not patient creatures. Advent is a time of waiting for the light of the world to come. It is a season of hope, and ultimately, it's a season of trust that the Promised One will arrive to save us from the darkness of this empire and of this world. Throughout the scriptures, there is a consistent promise that God will meet us in our greatest need and accompany us through the most difficult of circumstances. In our difficulty of watching and waiting, which is no different than it was almost 2,000 years ago when Matthew wrote this gospel for the first impatient Christians, we ask the same question. What do we do while we wait? If we falsely continue to keep our focus on being who's being taken and who's being left, or in the children's version of this for the holiday, who is naughty and who is nice, if we focus that way, we miss out on the true message of the gospel. Sometimes we don't trust that God's promised grace is real and that it is for us. And so, we have a tendency to believe and act that the Word of God is not gracious, but only vengeful and punishing. But if we lean on that ideal, there is no way to see the gospel as an announcement of good news. The good news is that Jesus was announcing the end of the world. It is the day of God's vengeance on human sin. And this is what God's vengeance looks like. A helpless baby in a stable in Bethlehem. A helpless man on a cross outside of Jerusalem. The end of the old world of sin and death has come exclusively through God's reconciling mercy. This is God's word of promise. a gift to us that we open ourselves, we open our eyes, we open our very lives to the incredible, surprising, immeasurable, and intimate love of God. It is right there in front of us. Two men working side by side in the field. Two women grinding meal together in the ordinary, in the everyday. God doesn't want us to miss it. God wants us to watch. So may you learn to live in the here and now and be present, trusting in God's breaking in is in the cross. May you find hope in the light which you may witness in others around you in your vigilant watching. And may you trust in the life and grace which the Son comes to us in everyday activities. Amen.